This article is brought to you by the best-selling book See Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. The physical habits of overfunctioning, body language patterns that signal you're carrying too much. When your posture tells the truth your words are hiding. In short, body language patterns carry the weight of overfunctioning long before you consciously admit you're overwhelmed. Your posture, gestures, and physical habits tell the truth your words are trained to hide. Six specific physical patterns reveal chronic overfunctioning in the workplace. Each pattern has a root cause, a consequence, and a concrete first correction. Recognizing these signs in your own body is the beginning of reclaiming your presence. Definition: body language patterns are the recurring physical habits, postures, and gestures that reveal a person's internal state and social role. In overfunctioning, these patterns form as the body adapts to carrying disproportionate responsibility, emotional labor, and anticipatory tension over time. She thought she was fine. She sat in every meeting, answered every question, smoothed every friction before it became a scene. Her colleagues described her as dependable. Her manager called her indispensable. But if you watched her body language closely, something else was visible entirely. Her shoulders had been creeping toward her ears for months. She nodded before people finished their sentences. She made herself physically smaller every time a new request landed on the table. The body language patterns of overfunctioning had taken hold long before she had a name for what she was feeling. That is the nature of this particular problem. The signals are quiet. They develop slowly, one accommodation at a time, until a set of physical habits has formed that your body now treats as normal. This article will help you see those habits clearly, understand where they come from, and identify your first move out of them. Why these physical signals are so easy to dismiss. Most people who overfunction do not think of themselves as struggling. They think of themselves as capable. That distinction matters enormously, because capable people do not look for signs of distress in their own posture. The body language of overfunctioning is also deeply praised in many workplaces. Leaning in, staying alert, staying ready, absorbing friction without complaint, these read as professionalism, not as warning signs. So the patterns get reinforced, and they get deeper. There's also the simple fact that you cannot see your own body language clearly. You feel what you feel, but you do not watch yourself move through your room. The signs are far more visible to the person sitting across from you than they are to you. Six body language patterns that reveal you are carrying too much. 1. Shoulders that have forgotten how to drop. What it looks like. Your shoulders sit elevated, rolled slightly forward, and tightened toward your neck. This is true not only in difficult moments, but in ordinary ones too. You notice it when someone points it out, or when you reach the end of a day and feel as though you have been bracing for a collision that never came. Why it happens? The body braces when it anticipates threat. If your environment has trained you to expect requests, criticism, or emotional spillover at any moment, the muscles of your upper back and next day contracted. Over time, this becomes a resting state. Why it matters. This posture signals submission and strength to everyone in the room. It reduces the authority your words carry. It also causes genuine physical damage over time. Tension headaches, shallow breathing, and chronic neck pain are common companions. What to do? Set a single physical cue. Choose a moment that happens regularly, perhaps when you sit down at your desk in the morning, and consciously roll your shoulders back and down. Hold it for 10 seconds. You are not performing confidence. You are interrupting a physical pattern your nervous system has accepted as permanent. I carried this for years without knowing it. A colleague finally said to me, "You look like you're waiting to be hit." That landed hard. And it was true. 2. Nodding before the other person has finished talking. What it looks like. You nod continuously, quickly, and often before the person speaking has reached the end of their thought. If you watch yourself on video, it can look frantic. To others, it reads as either extreme agreement or thinly veiled impatience. Why it happens? Rapid nodding is a physical form of emotional overfunctioning. You are working to reassure the speaker, to signal that you are following, to manage their experience of being heard. The nod says, "I am with you, I am not a threat. Please continue, I will carry whatever you bring." It is accommodation expressed through movement. Why it matters. Counterintuitively, this kind of nodding often undermines trust rather than building it. It signals that you're managing the other person's comfort rather than genuinely listening. Slow, deliberate nods communicate actual engagement. Rapid continuous ones communicate anxiety. What to do? In your next one-to-one conversation, consciously still your head. Let the other person finish. Then nod once, slowly, before you respond. You will feel uncomfortable. That discomfort is the sensation of not overfunctioning. It passes. This one surprised me when I first became aware of it. I thought I was being encouraging. I was actually performing a kind of frantic servility. 3. Making yourself physically smaller in shared spaces. What it looks like. You tuck your elbows in. You pull your chair back from the table slightly. You angle your body toward the door. You occupy the minimum footprint possible, even in rooms where you have every right to take up space. Why it happens? Spatial shrinkage is a direct physical translation of the internal belief that your presence might be too much. If you've spent months or years accommodating others' needs, absorbing blame, or apologizing for the space your opinions take up, the body enacts that belief in how it sits and stands. Why it matters. The amount of physical space you occupy correlates directly with how much authority others unconsciously attribute to you. This is not fair, but it is real. If you habitually shrink, where contributions get treated as if they came from someone with less standing than they actually have, in tense situations especially, nonverbal signals carry enormous weight. What to do? The next time you sit at a table, place both forearms on the surface. Not aggressively. Simply present. Notice whether you resist doing this. That resistance tells you something true about how you've been operating. I watched a woman manage a room of 12 people from a chair pushed so far back she was practically in the hallway. She did all the work. She got none of the credit. Her body had told the room not to look at her. 4. The bracing posture before difficult conversations. What it looks like. In the seconds before you raise a concern, give feedback, or disagree with someone, your body tightens. You cross your arms. Grip your pen, press your feet flat to the floor. You adjust your sets. You look as though you're preparing for impact rather than preparing to speak. Why it happens. This is what happens when overfunctioning has taught your nervous system that speaking up is dangerous. Not dangerous in any rational sense, but experienced as such because so many previous attempts at honest communication were met with pushback, dismissal, or relational damage. The body remembers, even when the mind moves on. Why it matters. That bracing posture arrives before your words do. The person across from you sees it and prepares a defense before you have said anything at all. This is one reason difficult conversations escalate before they should. The anadalar hijack that drives conflict is often triggered by body language signals, not words. What to do? Before your next hard conversation, pause for a full breath and clench your hands deliberately. Let your shoulders settle. You are not trying to feel calm. You are trying to signal to yourself and to the other person that what follows is a conversation, not a confrontation. 5. Eye contact at seeks permission rather than connection. What it looks like. You make strong eye contact at the beginning of a sentence, then look away as the sentence becomes more direct or assertive. You glance toward others for confirmation before you finish your own thought. In meetings where you disagree, you find something neutral on the table to look at while you speak. Why it happens. Sustained eye contact during assertive speech requires a particular kind of self-respect, the belief that what you're saying deserves to be received. When overfunctioning has eroded that belief, the gaze breaks at the moment of greatest vulnerability. It is an involuntary search for permission. Why it matters. Broken eye contact at the precise moment of assertion tells the other person that you do not fully stand behind what you're saying. It invites challenge. In meetings where dominant voices are already strong, permission-seeking eye contact makes it even harder for your position to hold. What to do? In your next meeting, choose one point you genuinely believe and deliver it to a specific person's eyes all the way to the end of the sentence. Not aggressively, simply without retreating. That single habit, practiced consistently, begins to rebuild the posture of someone who trusts their own words. 6. The smile that absorbs every uncomfortable moment. What it looks like. You smile when you are delivering bad news. You smile when someone interrupts you. You smile when you disagree. The smile is not happiness. It is a physical buffer you offer the room so that your discomfort does not become other people's discomfort. Why it happens. In Say It Right Every Time for Women, I describe this as one of the clearest expressions of emotional overfunctioning, the invisible unpaid labor of managing other people's emotional experience of you. The appeasing smile is the body's attempt to soften every difficult moment before it lands. It is, as I write in Chapter 4, the physical equivalent of permission-seeking language, a signal says, I know this might be hard for you, so here is something to make it easier. Why it matters. This is the pattern most people do not see coming when they first read a list like this. It feels polite. It is anything but neutral. The smile that absorbs discomfort confuses your message. When the body says comfortable and the words say serious, people trust the body. Your concern does not land with the weight it deserves. In feedback conversations particularly, this matters. The SPVI method for corrective feedback depends on congruence between what you say and how your body carries it. What to do? This week, notice every time you smile in a moment of discomfort. Do not try to stop it immediately. Just name it. There it is. Awareness comes before correction. When you're ready, practice replacing the smile with a neutral, settled expression, not cold, not stern. Just present. This was the hardest one for me to see in myself. I thought I was being kind. I was actually signaling to the room that my discomfort was their problem to manage. The root pattern behind these physical habits. Each of the six patterns above is a symptom. The root is this overfunctioning trains the body to exist in a permanent state of readiness to absorb, accommodate, and carry. That state has a physical cost. The body was not designed to brace indefinitely. When you take on emotional responsibility for other people's reactions, manage conflict before it arrives, and shrink your presence to protect the room's comfort, your body encodes those behaviors. The posture stops being a response to a moment and starts being a default. I cover this dynamic directly in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time for Women, where I call it emotional overfunctioning, the pattern of carrying not just your own responsibilities, but other people's emotional states and comfort as well. The prescription I offer there applies directly to the physical level. Connect, don't carry. You can be fully present, warm, and engaged without absorbing what does not belong to you. That principle applies to posture as much as it applies to words. The goal is not detachment. The goal is a body that signals genuine authority, genuine care, and genuine presence simultaneously. Those things do not contradict each other, but they do require you to stop carrying what belongs to someone else. A diagnostic checklist. What your body is telling you today. Work through these statements honestly. A simple yes or no for each. My shoulders feel tight or elevated for most of the working day. I nod frequently while others speak, often before they finish a sentence. I sit back from tables or desks in shared spaces, even when I have every right to be there. My body tightens noticeably before I raise a concern or disagree with someone. My eye contact breaks or drifts. Am I making my most direct or assertive points? I smile reflexively in tense or uncomfortable moments, even when I feel the opposite. At the end of a working day, I feel physical exhaustion that seems out of proportion to what I actually did. If you answered yes to one or two, you have isolated physical habits worth watching. They are not yet a pattern. They are a signal to stay aware. If you answered yes to three or four, a pattern has formed. Your body has adapted to a specific kind of relational pressure. The time to address it is now, before it deepens. If you answered yes to five or more, your body has been carrying a burden your mind may not have fully named yet. This is not a personal failure. It is information. Take it seriously. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to go from here? The first move is not to fix all six patterns. That is a recipe for yet more overfunctioning, only directed at yourself. Pick the one pattern that felt most recognizable when you read it. Just one. For 1 week, practice the single correction listed for that pattern. Nothing more. Notice what it feels like to hold your ground physically. Notice who in your environment responds to the change. If you want to go deeper on the verbal side of this, the full core framework in Say It Right Every Time for Women gives you the communication structure that supports grounded body language, how to state your position before inviting dialogue, how to give direct feedback without softening it into noise, and how to hold a boundary without bracing for war. The body and the words have to work together. Fix one, and you will naturally want to address the other. For practical application in meetings, this guide on ensuring every voice gets heard and this one on managing conflict in meetings offer specific tools you can apply immediately. And when feedback conversations are where your body tightens most, Learning how to use SBI without triggering a defensive shutdown will give your body and your words a shared framework to work from. Your body language patterns are not a character flaw. They are an honest record of what your environment has asked of you. The question now is whether you are willing to ask something different of yourself. Frequently asked questions. What are body language patterns that signal overfunctioning? Body language patterns signal overfunctioning include rounded shoulders, chronic nodding, rapid nods before others finish speaking, spatial shrinkage, a bracing posture before difficult conversations, and suppressed gesturing. These are physical habits the body develops when it is carrying more responsibility than it should sustain. Can body language reveal workplace stress before you notice it consciously? Yes, the body registers overload before the conscious mind admits it. Postural collapse, tightened jaw, and flinching at notifications are physical stress signals that appear weeks or months before a person recognizes they are overwhelmed. Your posture is an honest signal your words often override. How do body language patterns differ from normal workplace stress signals? Normal stress signals are temporary and resolve after a pressure point passes. Overfunctioning body language patterns are chronic and consistent across different environments. They persist in low-pressure moments, social settings, and even at home, because the body has stopped distinguishing between high stakes and ordinary situations. What is emotional overfunctioning, and how does it show in the body? Emotional overfunctioning is the invisible unpaid labor of managing not just your own responsibilities, but also other people's emotional states and workloads. In the body, it manifests as forward-leaning posture, chronic nodding, spatial shrinkage, and a permanently braced stance that signals constant readiness to absorb others' needs. How can I stop overfunctioning body language patterns at work? Start by noticing one pattern at a time. Choose your most obvious physical habit, such as chronic nodding or rounded shoulders, and practice one corrective adjustment daily. Recovering your physical presence is not about performance. It is about reconnecting your posture to your actual level of authority and care for yourself. Is body language connected to how much responsibility I take on at work? Directly. People who habitually take on more than their share develop protective, accommodating physical habits over time. The body adapts to a permanent state of readiness and deference. Recovering clear, grounded body language often requires first addressing the root pattern, taking responsibility for things that belong to others. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.